So if you haven't worked it out yet, we're looking at Psalm 42 today. And I'm going to read it to you. Notice, no PowerPoint. It made me think, actually. Don't take this the wrong way, but Jesus never needed PowerPoint. You just have to listen to his words when he was preaching. Not that I can preach like him, obviously. Because he was the best. But we are going to go through this. So I'm reading from the New King James Version, Psalm 42. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, "Where is your God?" When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrimage feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, and from the heights of Hermon, and from the hill Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his soul shall be with me. A prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with the breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me. While they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. It's interesting when you start to read that, and then some of the songs that we've sung this morning, there's quite a few that actually come out of this one psalm. So, I mean, you know, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. Okay? There might be a bit of singing involved in the song, so hold on to your hats. But it's a lot deeper than that. It's a lot deeper than just a simple chorus that we sing. And it's a lovely chorus. But what we're going to do today is to look at the context of this psalm and see how personal it can be. And see how deeply moving it can be. And see how relevant it can be to us. Firstly, now, a couple of points. Who was this psalm written by?
Not David.
The sons of Korah. Okay, that's Asaph, Ethan, and He-Man. Which is one of the reasons why I'm not doing PowerPoint, because it's just too tempting for me to put up a picture of He-Man on the screen like I did a few weeks ago. It's what they call a contemplative psalm. That is a psalm that's expressing or involving prolonged thought. It's not a psalm that you just read it and throw it away. Not that there are any psalms that you should take like that. Also, this psalm was considered to be joined together with Psalm 43. Because if you look at the words in Psalm 42, verse 5, it says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, for the help of his countenance." Psalm 43, verse 5 says this, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God." They're the same. Repetition. We do these things, we repeat these things, so that we actually get them into our heads. It's a great teaching device. Remember what Mike was talking about last week about repetition? How if God said it, so his dad said, what was it again?
God said it's important. If he said it twice, it's important or important. If he said it three times, it's really, really, really important.
This is really, really important, okay? Because it's been said three times. I'm not going to read it again, but I'm actually going to pull various verses out from this and look first of all at how this can actually be personal. Now, when it's personal, it means it's for me, okay? It's not for you. It's only when you're sitting in your seat that you can say, it's for me. The words are, my soul, when shall I come? Me. See, it's meant to be read and to be studied and to be pored over as if it is you who is standing in the footsteps of the psalmist. And if you can read this, and this could be really melancholy, but it's as if the writer is actually inviting us to share something that is deeply personal. When this was written, it was deeply personal. When you read it, it should be deeply personal for you. Let me just read verses 2 to 4. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Not just any God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. He's troubled. The writer of the psalm is troubled. But you can read that and you can say, well, actually, he wasn't always like that, was he?
Yeah.
He wasn't always like that, because it says, well, I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, in the past tense. The position he's in now, he doesn't feel like that. Verse 3 again. My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? If your tears are your food day and night, you're not really eating very healthy, are you? You could lose a lot of weight that way. Some of us could do be losing a lot of weight that way. I don't want to do it that way. But you see, there's a real parallel here with our lives and the way that we actually live. You see, you can be part of the crowd. It's really easy just to turn up for church and be part of the crowd, but not really have a relationship with Jesus. Back to personal again. You can join in with the worship at church, but you know what? That's only going to sustain you for so long. When trouble comes, where do you go? Who do you look to? However, having said that, you cannot be a Christian sitting on your own indoors. Okay? It's a team game. I quite often, and I do an awful lot of this, is related back to football. You can't play football on your own. You can kick a ball against the wall if you want. But that gets boring really quick. You need each other. We need each other. I need Rupert as much as Rupert needs me. He might not know that, but it's true. The Bible says iron sharpens iron. And what that means is that we keep each other sharp.
Yeah.
We actually spark off of each other. Here's another image. Imagine you take a piece of coal that's alight and it's hot. You don't hold it for very long. But if you take that piece of coal and you put it to one side, that piece of coal will go out very, very quickly. There may be some white ash on it, but it will cool down very, very quickly. If that coal is in the middle of a whole bunch of other coals, they will feed off each other. They will spark off each other. And that's why church is so important. That's why life groups are so important.
Absolutely.
You see, we need one another for support, to encourage. You see, if you're not part of a life group, just look again at the benefits that you have versus what you think or you perceive that you have to give up. What do I have to give up to be in a life group? Oh, sorry, I can't come out that night because Coronation Street's on. Or EastEnders, it's on too often anyway. Or perhaps that's my gym night. I can't go because it's my gym night. Gyms are open 24/7 these days, that's no excuse. So I make an appeal that house groups, church, are very, very important. Church is not just coming in one Sunday in the morning and that's it, that's all we do. It's actually being part of the fellowship. But, always remember this. That is not what sets you on fire. Okay? It is God that relights my fire, if you like. Thank you. I was hoping that would happen. You see, we get infused by each other, but He is the source of our passion. Beth sings really well. She comes up here, and you watch the girls today worshipping. But that's not the source of our passion. That's not the source of Beth's passion. Jesus is the source of our passion. He is the one that we sing to and for, not each other. When you think about it, this psalm is deeply, deeply moving. The writer of this psalm, remember, inhabit this psalm. Take this psalm as if it's you. And what's he doing? He's pouring out his soul from within him. Verse 5 again. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? It's a bit like you're talking to yourself, isn't it? You know? Why, you know?
Why are you cast down?
Almost stepping out of yourself and talking to your soul. You see, there's nothing wrong with you. Okay? Physically, you're fine. But your spirit, your soul, is depressed, is miserable, for possibly a very good reason. Possibly, if you look to the next person and said, this is the reason I'm miserable, they'll go, oh, what? Come on, man, get out, get a grip, snap out of it. But our spirits are low. And it can be really quite catching, maybe. It's almost like when you've got a cold, as some of you have, you'll take something for it. When you're spiritually low, there's no cure. Actually, there is. And it's found in this verse. Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him. Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him. If you're sad, sing. Sing praises to God. It's interesting, actually, when you look around and look at around the world, the world has finally caught up with what the church has known for years, for generations. Singing is good for you. Try singing when you've got a face as long as a wet weekend. Again, watch the girls when they're singing and worshipping. Try wiping the smile off a man on his face. You sing and it lifts you up. Singing is good for you. The church, the world is caught up. Remember the military wives when we saw that?
Yeah.
And how their husbands had gone out to Iraq or wherever it was, so they formed a choir. And then suddenly the media got hold of it and they thought, okay, well, that's good. Well, who's the guy who actually does this? Oh, it's
Gareth
that Gareth Malone chap. That's it, thank you. And you know, so they start to make more and more programs about this. We had a rock choir here last year, and we're hoping to get them back for our community day. Singing is good for you. And you know what? We have so much to be joyful about, don't we? Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Audience participation, I love it. Oh my God, says verse 6. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of Jordan and from the heights of Hermon, from the hill Mizar. The psalmist is talking to God about his own soul and it's cast down. And then he thinks about what God has actually done for him, as we've just been singing about counting your blessings. Now, the thing about this is, God has done some great things for you personally. He's done some great things for me personally. But you can't feed off of my blessings. It's really, really important that we grasp that. It's not my blessings that you can feed off of. Because whatever God has blessed you with probably doesn't mean much to me. And whatever God has blessed me with, the times that he has actually blessed me, the times that he has pulled me out of some of the scrapes that I've got myself into, mean nothing to you. They're just stories. When it's you, when it's personal, when you look at it and you think, actually, I remember when he did that for me. And it's good to look back on our past experiences. Don't live in the past, because tomorrow is another day. By the way, God's there before you. God's there in the future, before you even get out of your bed in the morning. But if you look back, just to give your soul, give your spirits that little lift, you can look back and see what God has done for you too. But of course, he's going to go a bit deeper in the psalm. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. Sorry, what's that? Oh, sorry. All your waves and billows have gone over me. Not your billows, that's a tree. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the battle. See, there's always something that God is going to do for you. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. What you take from this is the fact that those waves and billows, you will have them. But you've got to remember you're under God's protection. You see, we all go through trials and difficulties. Not one of you is immune from a trial or a difficulty. It might be now, it might be last week, it might be tomorrow. But none of us are actually immune from this. Now, if you see somebody who just seems to be gliding through life, look at that guy. He's got it all sorted out. He is just, super, super cool. He knows exactly what he's doing. He's got it all sorted out. What you can't see is underneath, his little legs are paddling like crazy, just trying to keep afloat. You ever seen a duck paddle? You ever seen a swan glide? Swans do glide, but they are still paddling. Yeah? You look at other people and you think, that guy's got it all together. No, he hasn't. You just do not know what is going on in other people's lives. We don't know. But God does. Because God is with us. And what will he, what does it say here? He will command his loving kindness in the daytime. And in the night, his song shall be with me. Back to singing again. You see, when it's deep, when it's moving, when you feel, sometimes you are in trouble, sometimes it just feels like that. It feels terrible. Oh, okay. There's nothing really wrong with you, is there? No. But I just feel. That doesn't mean to say you don't go alongside somebody and just be with them. You do. You do do that. Sometimes you just need to sit and listen. Sometimes you can show and share your experiences in a similar situation. It's not the same situation. It's never not the same situation. It's just something that you've gone through that is similar. Because it's their situation. You can't step into somebody's shoes. You can only have that appearance of doing that. His song shall be with me. And you can see, can't you, that it's not just a throwaway psalm, as I guess I said earlier, none of them are throwaway psalms, but it is something you start to sink and take in, and it starts to become relevant in your particular position that you are in at this particular moment in time. And then you read verse 9. I will say to God, my rock. Now, there's a line on its own. I will say to God, my rock. If you're saying that God is your rock, it's something that you're holding on to. It's something you're steadfast to. Next line says this. Why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of my enemies? As if with breaking of bone of my bones, my enemies reproach me. Has he? Has he forgotten you? No, he hasn't. Shakes of the head from the front row. Has he forgotten you? Or have you stopped talking to him? Have you stopped the conversation with God? Have you moved away? Turned your back? Maybe just got a little bit too busy for God to be relevant in your life. You see, instead of him being the primary source that you turn to, he's suddenly become a bit part player in your life. Why? And we do this. Why do we put the blame on God instead of accepting our part in this situation? You see, instead of blaming God, maybe we should be coming to repentance to God and saying, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I should have come to you first. Those of us who have had children will remember when they've gone off and done their own thing, and then they come back and say, but Dad, I didn't get it right. Can you fix it? Never happened, has it? Much. Should we not come and say sorry? Search me, O God, and know my heart today. I'm not going to sing this, I'm just going to read it out. Try me, O Saviour, know my thoughts, I pray. I lied. See if there be, I can't see this, some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. Maybe that's something that we do need to do. Maybe we do need to let God search us and let him know that your heart is not necessarily right, but you want to put it right. And that's what's happening in this psalm. He wants to put it right. But of course, Jeff said earlier, we're human. And do you know what? You can actually carry on that road of saying, why me? Why, God, have you forgotten me? You can go on that path. You can have your pity party. But what you're doing with that is inviting the enemy into your life. As with a breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me. While they say to me all day long, where is your God? They are putting the finger on you. Don't let them do it. Verse 11. Why are you cast down on my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope. Hope in God. The psalmist is telling us what he intends to do. And by that way, as he's invited us to get into this psalm, he's telling us to do what he's doing, which is to hope in God. Why? Because he's going to give God the praise. For I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Now it's interesting, when you read this, verse 11 and verse 5 look exactly the same. But they're not. Verse 5, the last line, the last two lines says, hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. His countenance. Last line of verse 11, hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of my countenance and my God. What is your countenance? It's this, isn't it? My countenance, the lifter of your head, if you like. It's God who lifts your head up. Have you ever tried singing like this with your head down?
Don't, it's bad for you.
It's not a good look, first of all. It's actually, you can't really sing. If you lift your head up, you can sing. Why do we stand in church when we sing? Why do we stand? We could sit and sing, but actually if we stand, our lungs will fill, and then we can actually sing up and out. You see, it says here that God is the help of your countenance. It's a lifter of your head. Psalm 3 verse 3 says this, but you are, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. Lift it up to God. Lift your head up to God. Sing his praises. The glory and the lifter of my head. There's a song there, Mike.
Yeah.
The glory and the lifter of my head.
My glory and the lifter of my head. For thou, O Lord, art a shield to me. My glory and the lifter of my head.
For those of you who didn't know, Mike is like a worship jukebox. I've known this for a very long time, but he pretty much can sing anything that you've ever heard or sung in a church. And I can't remember the words, but he will do so. So, just bringing it back now, just to conclude. We are going through a series of psalms. As you've probably worked it out, they're not all of them and they're not in order. But that's fine. But today is a time to actually stop and reflect and to think and to contemplate, as it says at the beginning of the psalm. It was a contemplation of the sons of Korah. You know, maybe that's what we need to do. Maybe we need to read it like that, line by line. Let it sink in. Remember last time I was actually here preaching? I introduced a Hebrew word. So, of course, I remembered it completely. No, I didn't. I had to go back into my notes and find out what it was. The Hebrew word is haggah, and it means to reflect, to moan, to mutter. And maybe that's what we need to do when we start to read some of these contemplative songs, is to just let them sink in, to mutter them, to get the words into our head. And that's what I'd like you to do today. When we leave today, don't just sort of shut your ears to everything you've heard and go off on your day, because that's what we typically do anyway, because we're human. But reflect upon it. Reflect upon what you've heard. Reflect upon the personal nature of this psalm. Actually, everything we read about God should be personal. Should be for me. Yeah. Me. And you can do that and say me as well. I could turn around and point and say it should be for you and you and you and you. But it's not the same as if I say it's for me. This psalm is deeply moving. It gets right into the deepness of what it can be like when you're really not feeling it. We are often deeply moved by things. And that's why we need each other. Because there are times when you need to sit and listen to somebody. You need to put your arm around them, somebody. But you do need to be with them, and they need to be with you, which is why I said about the house groups, how really, really important they are. But most importantly, it's relevant. It's not just some poem that some group of blokes wrote many, many years ago. And it means nothing. It's not that. It actually means loads. Because you see, it can actually shine a light on where you are right now, in the particular season that you're in. And it can illuminate that. Because when you're down and it's dark, maybe you do need a torch to illuminate that. You do need God to look at you and say, do you know what? I'm there. I'm there. You know life can get to you. You know your soul can cry out to God, where are you? But most important of what we've learned this morning, that we actually can reconnect ourselves back to God. It's not just reconnecting yourself back to church, although that's good. It's actually reconnecting yourself back to God. See, it's God who relights our fire, not each other. And Jesus is the author of our lives, not each other. It's not what I tell you to do. I can tell you to do all sorts of weird and wonderful things. But it's what God tells you to do. It's what Jesus tells you to do. How to live your life. How to do it this way. How to do and follow his commands. I can point you the way, but he is the way, the truth and the life. And always remember that nobody comes to the Father except through that route. That is the most important thing. Amen.
Amen.